Everybody back? Okay, call the meeting to order. And I think we were working on change of zone number 1699, Old Town Point LLC, and change of zone 1868, Old Point LLC. And I understand that the applicant has requested to consolidate.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. So the benefit of the public, this is going to be one presentation. It's going to cover both applications, but the applications will be voted on separately. They will be treated separately. Okay, Mr. Lang?
Yes, change of zone 1699 is the application of Old Town Point LLC for an ordinance to modify condition number 21 imposed on ordinance number 1377 for change of zone number 1400. The application of Old Town Point LLC for the Village of Five Points.
Right.
A MRRPC medium density residential district, residential planned community. So that the limitation with regard to community use is only on 2.52 acres, thereby enabling Old Town Point LLC to use a remaining portion of the property being 1.52 acres for a proposed pharmacy or related use. And conditional use number 1868, the application of Old Town Point LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a pharmacy and community service facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.04 acres, more or less, lying at the northwest corner of Savannah Road, being Business Route 9, and North Village Main Boulevard, the entrance into the Village of Five Points. For the record, the commission received copies of an exhibit booklet on January 14, 2011, titled The Village of Five Points, and it includes the copy of the application for both the zoning change and the conditional use, a copy of ordinance number 1377, preliminary site plan, the evolution of a preliminary site plan, a survey of the property, site data, a reference to exhibits being zoning map, soils map, future land use map, area map, copy of the contract of sale, a draft restrictive covenants, easement, maintenance, and cost sharing agreement between Old Town Point LLC and CVS, a traffic report, a Delaware Department of Transportation, no TIS, traffic impact study letter, a conditional gift agreement, letters in support of the applications, and a summary report of DJ Hughes, a professional engineer of Davis Bone and Friedel, a sanitary sewer EDU allocation calculations, compliance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and proposed findings of fact. And again, they are a part of the record and have been a part of the record since January 14th. As we previously stated, the public hearing was being consolidated for the purpose of presentation, and the commission, either tonight or at some later date, make a decision on both applications separately. For the record, we have received to date 12 letters were received prior to closing today at 4:30, and one additional letter was received prior to the meeting starting. And they are in support of the application, and they are from Solomon Peltz, John J. Gilbert, president of the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association. John J. Gilbert, again, as a homeowner. Rita P. Gilbert, as a homeowner. Rich Dudek, as a real estate agent. Michael Cavanaugh, as a homeowner. Michael and Mary Ellen South, as homeowners. John and Mary Verico, as homeowners. Gene Terzak is president of the Town Center East Condo Association. Don and Helen Flood as homeowners. Lynn M. Taylor and William J. Sanda as homeowners. Paul Kratchman as a homeowner. And Richard L. Bryan as a homeowner. Those letters are in support and will be made available to the commission for review. We also received 4 letters in opposition. Those letters are signed by Anthony E. Pazik, Donna M. Pazik, Michael Hobbs, and Maureen Hobbs. Hopefully I didn't pronounce anybody's name wrong, but I have a bad habit of doing just that. We also received one letter or one memorandum from an agency to date, and that is from the Sussex County Engineering Department. It is in the form of a memorandum. It dated January 19th and received on January 25th. Makes reference to this site, makes reference to the pharmacy and community service facilities, and makes reference to the West Rehoboth expansion area of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. In reference to wastewater capacity, it states if limited upgrades are completed, system design and capacity evaluations have considered the village of Five Points of the whole project. The parcel considered for conditional use and zoning amendment did not exist separately, and the area was anticipated to be used solely for community service purposes. The village of Five Points is projected to be at or exceed capacity assumptions as the project approaches build out of the planned and approved proposal. There are downstream lines that are deficient at build out conditions. The current proposal for pharmacy, library, or community facilities is approximately one half of the EDU of the prior proposal to build retail and office buildings. The county engineering department feels the reduced proposal is feasible if Town Point LLC undertakes a downstream upgrade to alleviate a system deficiency. Whether or not Ordinance 38 construction will be required at this time has not been determined. The current system connection charge rate is $4,336 per EDU, and that would run through, should be June 30th of 2011 based on the current budget. A location and size of laterals or connection points to be determined by the county engineer. Conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study or undertaking an amendment will be required, and a concept plan will be required to be submitted to the Office of Utility Planning, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. I believe that's everything, just for reference purposes. The original ordinance number 1377, to create the RPC, and the condition proposed to be amended, which was 21. For the record, 21 read, the applicant will limit through deed restriction the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community service, and gave reference to as examples fire, police, EMS service, and library and museum. And it noted that the developer will maintain architectural and signage control of any facilities. And that was the total text of the number 21. Gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. The chair recognizes Ms. Carmi.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic and Carmine. My partner, John Sergovic, is also in attendance tonight. We represent the applicant, Old Town Point LLC, who has submitted two applications for your consideration tonight. The first application is CU number 1868. It's a request for a conditional use of land in an AR1 district for a pharmacy and community service facility to be located on approximately 4.04 acres. The second application is identified as CZ number 1699. It seeks an ordinance to modify condition number 21 imposed on ordinance number 1377 for change of zone number 1400, the application of Old Town Point LLC for the villages of Five Points and MRRPC. And that's with regard to the community service use, so that the restriction is only imposed on 2.52 acres, thereby enabling the applicant to utilize the remaining portion of the property, that being 1.52 acres, for a proposed pharmacy or related use. These applications are intertwined, and approval of both applications is necessary in order for the applicant to implement the proposed uses. For that reason, we have requested that the applications be heard simultaneously, and that the record for both applications reflect the testimony that's being provided tonight, as well as the booklets that have been submitted by the applicant in support of the applications. Also in attendance tonight on behalf of this application are Mr. Christian Hudson of Old Town Point LLC. Mr. Hudson will discuss the history and evolution of the project, as well as the various meetings with the residents of the villages of Five Points and the applicant's efforts to obtain community service uses throughout the years. Mr. Ken Christianberry, professional engineer with the engineering firm of Axiom Engineering. Mr. Christianberry will be discussing the engineering aspects of the project. We also have Mr. DJ Hughes, professional engineer with the engineering firm of Davis Bowen and Friedel. He will be discussing the traffic related to this project. We have Mr. Bill Lux. Mr. Lux is the managing broker and senior advisor at Sperry Van Ness Commercial Real Estate, located in Lewis, Delaware. Mr. Lux will be discussing the retail space at the Villages of Five Points and the impact, if any, that the proposed uses will have on the residential values in the Villages of Five Points. I will conclude the presentation with a brief summary of the compliance with the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. Before I introduce Mr. Hudson, I'd like to give the Commission and the public a brief overview of the two applications. The applicant, Old Town Point LLC, is the developer of the existing mixed-use development known as the Villages of Five Points. The land that is the subject of the two applications was identified in the rezoning approval of the Villages of Five Points by Ordinance Number 1377, even though it is not included in the MRRPC. Notwithstanding, CZ number 1400 was approved, subject to certain conditions, including condition number 21. Condition number 21 provides that the applicant will limit through deed restrictions the type of future use of 4.5 acres to community service. The 4.5 acres is actually 4.04 acres, and it's a property that's the subject of the two applications tonight. Following the approval of CZ number 1400, and the issuance of Ordinance Number 1377, the applicant exercised significant efforts over an approximate 10-year period in order to meet the conditions set forth in Ordinance Number 1377. Mr. Hudson will more fully discuss those efforts. Despite the applicant's efforts, the applicant was unable to generate any economically viable interest with regard to this property for the community service use. As a result, the applicant entered into a contract with JEMX, LLC, to purchase the property for a CVS, which use is desirable and in character with the existing business uses in the Villages of Five Points. CVS, as the equitable owner of this property, has an interest in the conditions to be imposed upon the property, and this contract was initially conditioned upon rezoning of the parcel. In accordance with the contract and based upon the stringent corporate policies of CVS, the applicant originally sought a rezoning of the entire parcel from AR1 to B1 in 2008 in order to construct and operate a pharmacy on the property and to completely remove condition number 21. During the public hearings in 2010, the applicant became aware of the residents of the Villages of Five Points' desire to maintain a community service use on the property. And due to these concerns of the residents and their desire for some community service use to be located on the property, the applicant did withdraw its B1 rezoning application, and that was with CVS's consent to reapply for a conditional use for the 1.52 acres, which are currently under contract with CVS. Following the withdrawal of the original application, the applicant has since attempted to satisfy both the equitable owner, CVS, and the residents of the Villages of Five Points. In fact, the applicant has held 6 community meetings with the residents of the Villages of Five Points in an effort to listen to and consider the concerns of the residents and to address them and to minimize any potential impact that may result from the proposed pharmacy use. Over time, and as a result of the various meetings with the residents of the Villages of Five Points, the site plan has morphed and evolved from the original site plan that you had seen in 2010 to the current site plan that you'll be considering tonight. And both Mr. Hudson and Mr. Christianberry will explain the evolution of the site plan. In addition, the applicant has continued in its efforts to satisfy condition number 21, and has even identified a preferred community service use in the proposed site plan. The applicant has offered to gift a portion of the property, that being 2.52 acres, to the Lewis Public Library in the event that both applications are approved by the council. Although the applicant has submitted a conditional gift agreement for the library's consideration, due to the library's internal review policy, and process, the library has been unable to enter into the conditional gift agreement at this time. Notwithstanding, in order for the applicant to implement the proposed pharmacy use on the 1.52 acres and the community service facility on the 2.52 acres, whether the community service user be the library or another community service organization, it's necessary for both applications to be approved by council. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Christian Hudson to expound upon the history of the application and the evolution of the project, the meetings with the residents, and his efforts to generate interest from community service organizations. Mr. Hudson.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Christian Hudson, Lewis, Delaware. The Village of Five Points has been going on for a little over 10 years. My father, Craig Hudson, was the president of our company, was the one who came before you, I believe, in the late 90s, and did a RPC overlay over the villages. Since then, the four-acre parcel at the front, he had approached a number of people, nonprofits, community groups, and such. It was always our intent to sell the land, albeit at a discount to market, certainly not retail or commercial prices, to a nonprofit group. But as I'll tell you here, for a variety of reasons, these groups just did not have the ability or the desire to partake. One of the groups we approached very early in the game was the post office, U.S. Post Office. There's currently a post office in Nassau, which is right across the street. If anybody's ever been to the Nassau Post Office, it is very packed, very cramped, and we thought it would benefit everybody by offering them a place over at the villages. The local guy said, great, liked the idea, but like every government institution, there's multiple layers, and eventually it got to a gentleman who said, no way, we actually want to consolidate. We don't want to move this to a new facility. So that was out of the picture. The University of Delaware, we approached with the idea of doing a museum, focusing on the nautical history of Lewis, being that the villages is in Lewis. We thought it would be a good idea for a museum. The University of Delaware agreed it would be a great idea, and basically said, thank you, we'll do it on our own property. The fire hall we approached, however, due to the timing they had just done, and I forget the name of their new facility over there on the other side of Nassau Bridge, but they'd just gone through the fundraising and just didn't want to do a whole other thing, deal with the local politics and so on and so forth, plus the hassle of just dealing with fundraising. On the museum, we still like the idea of the museum. There's actually a current nautical museum in Fenwick, so we approached the gentleman there, who again liked the idea. He was already doing a museum in Fenwick. He said, that's great, but you have to give me the land and then build the building, which the economics of that just didn't work for us. And that's really, I guess, what the crux of the matter is here, are the economics of the deal. We're committed to providing some type of community service, but just the whole parcel and the different uses, it just doesn't suit. So what we would like to try to do and what this is about, we're trying to create a public-private partnership. We feel that the economics of this thing, if we sell the 1.5 acres roughly to the CVS, the profit from that allows us to completely donate and not sell for any price to the community service. And we are, as Shannon said, we are working diligently with the library due to their constraints, like any nonprofit group, which gets their money mainly from the state, a county, and federal sources and private donations. They have their own due diligence and study period. They've done a needs assessment. But basically, we learned about them from the newspapers. And we thought, well, look, this would be a perfect opportunity. They're talking about having to leave their current location or possibly having to leave their current location. We can make them a great offer and donate the land and save tons of taxpayer dollars rather than having to have the library purchase some property. We think in the residents, I believe, support this, that the library would be very much in keeping with the Villages of Five Points, as would the CVS. Back before, when we were before the planning and zoning a few years ago, to be frank, we did not anticipate opposition. The Villages of Five Points is a very mixed-use, dynamic development. We literally have commercial running right through the heart of it. As a matter of fact, it's even more so than that. There's residential on top of commercial. We really didn't anticipate opposition, and quite frankly, it surprised us. So that's why we withdrew our application voluntarily, and we wanted to work with the community to craft a much better plan. And I think what we'll show you here tonight is a much better plan. We've had, as Shannon said, we've had 6 different meetings. They're very well attended from the residents of the Villages of Five Points. As the record shows, there was 12 letters in support from residents. The board has sent several boards in the Villages have sent letters of support as well. Through these discussions, we've come up with a number of things like vegetated landscape berms and things like that. One of the things we're even talking about doing is a temporary berm and landscape to shield anything from the CVS for the time being when it, you know, it takes the library or any public service a long time to move from acquisition of the land. Even if they have it on day one, it takes a long time to go vertical. Well, one of the things we've offered to do, which was well received by the residents, is put in a temporary screening, you know, in here to shield any view of the back operations of the commercial use in the meantime. A lot of the other design features, our engineer Ken Christianberry will be able to tell you in more detail, but this process has evolved very much in the 6 meetings and tons of comments from the residents and feedback. We think we have the best possible plan to put before you, and that is not based on my opinion, but that's based on the feedback we've received from the residents. I believe even the letters of opposition say a lot to that effect. One of the other things we've committed to is we've committed to donating the portion of the land, roughly 2.5 acres, to the Lewis Library. But if they formally reject or cannot build in the next 10 years, you know, we've committed to donate the land to the POA, the Property Owners Association of the Villages of Five Points, those 2.5 acres. We will not be back before the county on that. Again, the library is constrained from making a decision due to their internal process, but we are working as hard as possible because we feel that they would be a great mix, and the residents as well. That's all I have. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right, sir, thank you.
Christian, I have one question for you. With regard to your proposal or offer to gift the land to the library, can you discuss the economics with regard to the gift of the land and grants?
This is my understanding of this, but in discussions with the library and the state director of libraries, the way land grants work is if you have a donation of the land, especially, and the land is given to them free, the state can give them a grant up to 50% or half the value, the appraised value of the land, and then that money can be used for the vertical construction. So by our offer to donate the land, the 2.5 acres. It substantially increases the viability of the project for the library, and also greatly reduces the total burden on the local community having to fundraise and the other grants. Basically, half the value of the land, whether they purchase it or not, is available in a grant to them from the state. And since we're donating it, that basically gets leveraged on an increase.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Ken Christianberry to discuss the engineering aspects of the project.
Good evening. Ken Christianberry, Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. I'd like to start by just taking a look at the area in question, look at the zoning map on the county's website. This actually incorrectly identifies it as MR. That parcel was left as AR, but of course the entire village is at Five Points was on an MRRPC when it was rezoned. The soils on the site are very typical of this area. These are Class A and Class B soils. They're very well drained. Based on other projects I've done in the vicinity, this site would be ideal for best management practices such as infiltration underneath the parking lot. In the environmentally sensitive developing district, that is really the preferred way to handle your stormwater, is to put it back into the ground on site rather than run it off and run it back into the bays. As far as sanitary sewer goes, the project is in a sanitary sewer district. We do have the letter from County Engineering. Let me pull that. Engineering's letter states that the area was anticipated to be used solely for community service purposes. There are downstream lines that are deficient in build-out conditions. The current proposal for the pharmacy, library, and community facilities is approximately half of the EDUs of the prior proposal. That would be referring to the B1 rezoning we brought before you approximately 1 year ago. The Sussex County Engineering Department feels the reduced proposal is feasible if the Old Town Point LLC undertakes a downstream upgrade to alleviate a system deficiency. In addition to them saying that they're not opposed to it anymore like they were a year ago, they do acknowledge that their planning has allocated 4 EDUs per acre for an approximately 4-acre site, which is 16 EDUs. I did run a calculation based off of architecturals on 2 buildings, a CVS project, a CVS building that's similar to what's being proposed here, and the Georgetown Library, which is a 2-story, 30,000-square-foot library, or just under 30,000-square-foot, very comparable to what's been discussed by the Lewis Library. And in running that, I found that and this page is in your book under tab 19. The CVS equates to about 4.4 EDUs, and the library is just under 10. So it appears as though the allocation that the County Engineering Department has would exceed what is needed by the buildings that are anticipated. Obviously, building plans would have to be analyzed at the time the project were moved forward to make sure. And if they were not adequate, then those downstream improvements would likely be triggered by the County Engineering Department. Start with the area map. This is, as you know, the village is at Five Points. You've got, at this time this was flown, most of the West Village is completed construction. The East Village is slowly moving forward as well. And this is the area of the project itself. We met with the Homeowners Association after we withdrew the B1 application. Their concerns were taken into account because this was our initial application. The location of the CVS was the length of the building ran away from Savannah Road, leaving a very awkward piece for whatever remaining use might end up there. That was certainly a problem in terms of doing any kind of future work on the property. After we withdrew the B1, we drew a largest possible library. So we went with a two-story, similar to what they have here in Georgetown, 20,000 plus square foot per floor two-story. So a 40,000 square foot building with the parking maxed out. A lot of concerns came from the Homeowners Association about a few things. A large parking lot butted up to the residential really did not appeal to anyone who lived in the development. And the majority of folks who showed up in HOA meetings and spoke up said that these access points, which I thought from where I was sitting would benefit the residents by allowing easy access, were actually seen as a little bit more of a nuisance. So there were several requests for those to be removed by members of the HOA that, again, felt close enough to want to throw some input in. When we discussed this with the library said they really were not interested in a two-story building. They wanted a 30,000 square foot one-story building. So we pretty quickly just kind of made some modifications to what we'd already had to come up with this layout. But after we got that back from the library is when the Homeowners Association expressed their concerns about the parking being up against the residential. This was our next step that we looked at. We proposed some improvements to this intersection here with the traffic circle, eliminating one of these two entrances and allowing street parking to be placed here so that there was parallel parking for largely for the residents, I believe, who'd be using that. And this was much better received than our earlier rounds had been. There was also some relief that it was to be a one-story building that was proposed, because the earlier applications, they were concerned that it might reach the county maximum building height of 42 feet. The problem that came up with this particular layout was that CVS Corporate has said, and I believe Food Lion later echoed, that a traffic circle was something they were not willing to locate next to. And the existing Food Lion said that they wouldn't. I don't know exactly how the legal authority is set up between Food Lion and Villages of Five Points, but they were totally opposed to a traffic circle in this location. So at that point, we did engage, actually, even when we first designed the circle, we engaged with DJ Hughes from Davis Bumford, our traffic engineer, to look at what are our options here. And what we've come up with at this point as a reasonably good option, and let me get a closer view of it. Because obviously, for anyone living there, traffic is a significant concern, and with good reason. In the summer, it does get very busy in the beach area. The improvements to the intersection, I'll go over them briefly, and then I'll let DJ kind of explain some of how we arrived at this particular design. The largest problem that was reported was traffic exiting Food Lion, essentially treating the stop sign as a yield or even as a green light, and not particularly paying attention to traffic that was leaving the development, sometimes not paying as much attention as they should to the traffic coming this way. There is a stop sign there, but it just doesn't always get honored. The addition of more commercial over here, an actual parking lot over here, would probably raise people's awareness to the fact that they're actually pulling up to a busy intersection. So we hope that would cause people to pay a little more attention to the stop sign they already have. There would obviously be a stop sign here. We did discuss the possibility of putting a stop sign here so that cars leaving wouldn't be cut off. They'd have to stop as well, but that was not deemed to be something that would go over very well because people have been used to not having one there. If they see a green light down here, they're probably going to hit their gas regardless of what that signage is here. And the option that we pursued is to widen, just through the use of paint striping, this area here so that there is adequate space for a large vehicle like a Suburban or pickup truck to pull out of the Food Lion and have somewhere to stop and not be in danger of being clipped from traffic in either direction. It was suggested that a yield sign with the flashing red lights like they have at the roundabout in Rehoboth be considered in these locations here in the islands to really get the attention of those leaving these commercial facilities that they're obligated to yield and not the traffic on Main Street. In addition, this island would be cut back by about 18 feet to allow truck traffic to get into and out of the CVS. I can get into a little bit more of the particulars of the site plan, but maybe I should let DJ step up and give a little bit more details on the actual intersection process.
Thanks, Ken. As Ken said, my name is DJ Hughes, and I'm a professional engineer specializing in traffic with Davis Bowen and Friedel. I'll probably be a little brief because Ken touched on a lot of what I was going to touch on. Basically, I was brought in to assist with the design of the site access that will serve the CVS, potentially the library, and the Food Lion Shopping Center. The developers had already discussed the intersection with the CVS and the HOA, and CVS's main concern was the direct access from the boulevard and that trucks will be accommodated in and out of their site. And the HOA had some safety concerns, which Ken touched on, and basically I also observed traffic conditions, and for whatever reason, some drivers here feel they have the comfort to just kind of pull right on out. Some of them didn't necessarily pay too much attention to the traffic coming in, and vehicles had to slow. Others paid attention to traffic coming in, but once they got in here, if they noticed a car was coming, they might stop here, and there was not enough storage, so maybe the bumper of the vehicle was blocking this. What we're doing here, is an attempt to widen this median via striping and call more attention out to the fact that you do have a busy intersection here, and the words yield will physically be painted on the pavement, and these yield lines will also be on there. The lane assignment arrows would also be on there, with the point being to try to draw everybody's attention to the median. There is a stop sign here, which will be replaced with federal standards have come out with new stop signs that are bigger and larger to grab your attention, so we can replace this one, and this one would also be added over here, and a stop line can also be added there to reinforce that, as well as over here. But the main point of this improvement is to call drivers' attention to this median here, as well as get these drivers to basically widen this median by following this stripe and coming over farther away from the median. What that does is provide a 28-foot length and 18 feet of width for vehicles to be stored in the median, which currently they do not have that storage. So that is the main improvement that's proposed to try to address the inattention, if you will, of some of the drivers pulling out of here. I got a little ahead of where I was going to go with some of the things, so let me back up a minute. But one thing that is good about this boulevard is it's low speeds, has 15-mile-an-hour speed limit. So while I did observe some of these conditions, there weren't any crashes. I also checked with Delta, and there's not been any recorded crashes that they have on record at this intersection. These improvements were all done basically in an effort to try to come up with a compromise between the HOA's safety concerns and the access and truck access concerns of CVS. And as Ken said, several options were explored, including installing a signal. A signal is just not warranted, and it's too close to Savannah Road as well. We also considered installing an all-way stop. It's just not really a good idea. You have the traffic coming in from Savannah Road. You wouldn't want to stop then and potentially spill them back out onto Savannah Road. The drivers coming out towards Savannah Road really wouldn't expect a stop sign there, and it's likely they may run it, which would be a more serious safety concern than what you have today. So the stop signs really weren't an option, and the roundabout was discussed, which would have been some extensive construction and would have made it a much larger intersection, but as Ken said, that didn't meet the needs of either CVS or the Food Lion Shopping Center. So as a result of all that process, basically what you see there in front of you is what we are proposing. And essentially, it widens the median. It calls more attention to the fact that you do have to stop and or yield. And make sure I didn't miss anything, but all the signing and striping will conform with the federal manual standards. And basically, just to briefly summarize, these improvements are derived from the concerns of the HOA with respect to safety and the concerns of CVS with respect to delivery, truck access, and direct access from the boulevard. The improvements are a compromise amongst improvement options in an effort to address all parties' concerns as much as feasibly possible. And these improvements are believed to be the safest option that can be accommodate all parties' concerns. So if nobody has any questions, turn it back over to Shannon.
Best question.
Sure.
For the access coming in off of Savannah Road to get to that intersection, do you think it's going to be necessary to take out part of the median to create a turn lane to get into CVS and the
We discussed that, and we actually coordinated with CVS on that, and that they did not care whether they had a direct left in or not, and it was also discussed with that the trucks, even if there was a direct left in, just because of radius purposes, the trucks most likely wouldn't use it and would make the turn from the through lane anyway. The other concern would be is right now you've got two lanes here, which coming in, their striping can be brightened possibly a little bit. I think it's a little faded out there now, but there's supposed to be two lanes out here. If you cut another lane in there, you're going to have three lanes, and it might be a little more confusing for some drivers and possibly create some distractions, which we're actually trying to, you know, eliminate distractions. So
does DLDOT get into the design of that intersection with Savannah Road to the first, and this would be the first intersection? Don't they go, their design criteria goes from Savannah Road into that first intersection?
No, the DLDOT criteria would apply to the site access here where Savannah intersects North Boulevard, but this in here is under private jurisdiction. It's not under the control of DLDOT. So their standards wouldn't.
I know sometimes their regulations refer to the first intersection.
And this one, they wouldn't have any authority over it. I mean, they can always recommend anything, but the approving authority here is the county and also the HOA that we're dealing with. So they're free to recommend whatever they want, but they don't actually have any authority.
DJ was actually brought in not in response to a DLDOT requirement, but just in response to the homeowners association's desire to make sure that the best options that were available were considered and that the best option was forwarded. I'd like to take a moment to just look at the actual site plan itself. Since we do have a conditional use application on the table, we had to include a site plan in the application. The intent of the project would be to subdivide this approximately 1.5 acres for the CVS and leave the balance for what could be the Lewis Library, what could be the Property Owners Association at this point. The parking that the library said they would need would largely be this area in here, and then when they have large events is when they end up using their overflow parking. Because from this point forward, CVS would want one-way traffic so that when they have trucks or for their drive-through, it's just a lot easier to make it one-way from that point forward all the way around to there. So the library's overflow parking would require them to drive around the pharmacy. The site data table is in, I think it's tab 7. The project requires 52 parking spaces for the pharmacy. We have 58 shown. 85 are required by code for the library. We have 117 shown. The library did express that they need actually more than your code calls for. And when we discussed with them how some other areas within Villages at Five Points, there's street parking. There's a lot of shared parking that goes on, and that was the original intent of the development when it was first approved between Main Street and possibly some additional parking in here. We did also add 14 parking spaces along the back of the project right in here, again, street parking. But in accordance with what the HOA members requested, all access to this street has been removed except for pedestrian access at 2 points. At that point.
Does all the parking required for the CVS pharmacy, is that located on the CVS parcel?
It is. The...
But we're not dealing with a shared parking. We're
correct.
Dealing with overflow, et cetera.
Correct. There probably, as a practical matter, would be shared parking, but as a code matter, this subdivision line right here carves out these areas for the CVS, and that exceeds your code by a handful of parking spaces. Having said that, I think I'll turn it back over to Shannon. I'll be available for any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Bill Lux. He will be discussing the retail uses currently existing at the Villages of Five Points, as well as the potential impact, if any, on the residential values as a result of the proposed pharmacy use. Bill?
Good evening. As you've heard several times now, my name is Bill Lux, and I am the managing broker and senior advisor at Sperry Van Ness Miller Commercial in Lewis. I'm the broker involved in this transaction, but my purpose in appearing before you this evening is to discuss the adjacent Village of Five Points Shopping Center, of which I'm also the listing broker there for the leasing of that center, and the downtown commercial areas of the Village of Five Points, and to offer some insight into how residential values would be affected with the construction of the CVS. Previously, there had been some comments made concerning the vacancies that are in both centers. As with many things, there's always a story behind a story, and I want to share with you the correct information with these centers. The owner of the shopping center at the Village of Five Points has been slow to react to market conditions and thus has kept this per square foot rate high in comparison to the rest of the market. This resulted in many inquiries but no takers for spaces available. We presently have a 15% vacancy at the center. With a change in the offering price per square foot, we've seen many phone calls of late and inquiries. There are some other problems with the center that would add to its vacancy problems, and let me discuss those with you. The spaces are all 2,000 square feet in that center. When we built the center, we thought that was probably where we needed to be in different market conditions. And in today's market, the majority of potential new tenants simply want smaller units, say in the 800 to 1,000 square foot range. In addition, the vacant units are the result of a market and changing buying habits of the public. We lost a 4,000 square foot video store. As you know, in today's economic world, video stores are dinosaurs. A real estate office that was dealing in single family housing, a floor center which was part of Home Depot, and a postal service, all retailers that are not much in demand at this point in time. We also increased the size of the center by 4,000 square feet. The major problem, however, has been the master lease that Food Lion has concerning who can be in the center. In spite of the economy, I've had potential users up to 8,000 square feet. We have to have the approval of Food Lion in order to place a tenant in the center. An example would be we had a tanning salon that used a tropical theme, selling a small selection of tropical jams and jellies, basically like a little bookcase type thing with those offered. Food Lion denied the application based on that portion of the tanning salon retail offering. They thought that they might want to sell those jams and jellies sometime in the future. In the past and prior to economic downturn, Food Lion did not care that much, and they do now. And I have this problem with other centers across the area where there's a master lease where they didn't really pay attention to it until things got a little tighter, and now they are right on top of it. The list goes on with that. Presently, we're working with a carpet store, a doctor's office, and a national food franchise for the shopping center at the Village of Five Points. The story is much the same with the downtown section at the Village of Five Points. The owners were slow to react to market conditions, keeping the per square foot price high for the market. In addition, in an early effort to offer a blend of tenants that would offer goods and services to the residential portion of the project, they were very selective as to the type of tenant that would be allowed in the center. This was a very slow process and continues, but much the same problem is being experienced at the downtown section of the Village of Five Points. The market itself is driving the demand. The question concerning valuations and how the construction of the CVS may affect residential values is really a question of, and those three words that we always learn when we deal with real estate, location, location, location. The initial desirability of purchasing a residential unit at the Village of Five Points indicates that a residential buyer wants to be located in an area that offers goods and services that are readily available, with a variety of goods and services, and in today's world, goods and services that one can walk to or ride a bike to. Americans are finally learning that to live in an area that gives you a lifestyle that is once comfortable and convenient is very desirable. Does it add to the value to have a mix of commercial stores? Yes, without a doubt. The Village of Five Points offers a mix of residential units, and they will all gain from the value of the construction of the CVS. It offers not only pharmacy products, but has become the neighborhood center for daily needs. And once constructed, the CVS becomes part of the neighborhood. I am not an appraiser, but if I were to ask to offer an opinion of value on a residential unit in the Village of Five Points, I would certainly add to the value, as I did my opinion, of the convenience of having the commercial there, the commercial aspect of the center. And I would welcome any questions that you might have at this time.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll let Ms. Carmine finish, and then Mr. Lux, if we have anything for you, we'll ask you to join us again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lux. I'd like to conclude the presentation with a brief summary of this project's compliance with the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. This project complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, June 2008. The plan identifies this property as being located in the highway commercial area with the environmentally sensitive developing area overlay. The plan specifically provides at page 3-17 that the highway commercial area includes concentrations of retail and service uses that are mainly located along highways, as opposed to small traditional downtown areas that are often historic and pedestrian friendly. Highway commercial areas include highway commercial corridors, shopping centers, and other large commercial vicinities geared towards vehicular traffic. Rather than seeking a rezoning to C1, which would permit greater commercial uses, the applicant is seeking a conditional use for pharmacy-related uses and the community service facility. And that's in an effort to maintain the mixed residential and neighborhood business environment that currently exists in the villages of Five Points. The comprehensive plan further provides at page 3-16 that the permitted uses in the environmentally sensitive developing areas include retail and office uses with larger shopping centers and office parks confined to locations with access to arterial roads. The plan further provides that careful mixtures of homes with light commercial and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services and allow people to work close to home. The proposed pharmacy use and community service facility is therefore consistent with the goals of both the highway commercial area and the environmentally sensitive developing area, and is consistent with the uses in the surrounding area. The proposed project also meets the purpose of the zoning code. This property is located in the AR1 zoning district. The purpose of the AR1 district, according to the code, is to provide for low-density single-family residential development together with such churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or are normally compatible with residential surroundings. It further provides that conditional uses allowed within the AR1 district include residential, business, commercial, or industrial uses when the purposes of the chapter are more fully met by the issuance of a conditional use permit. This proposed conditional use is appropriate as the adjoining properties are zoned either MR with an RPC overlay or B1 or C1. This subject property is essentially an infill use. The proposed use will provide goods and services which will be readily available to the villages of Five Points residents who can simply walk or ride a bike to access those services. The conditional use is appropriate and compatible with the goals of the code, and again is consistent with the character and uses in the surrounding areas. The conditional use and the modification of condition number 21 of ordinance number 1377 will also have no adverse or detrimental impact on the neighboring areas or uses. In conclusion, it's our opinion that the conditional use and the modification of ordinance number 1377 is appropriate legislative action as it complies with the plan and it's consistent with the zoning code. For those reasons, we respectfully request that the Commission recommend approval of both applications that have been presented tonight. That does conclude our presentation. We thank you for your consideration of our requests. I do have something to offer to Mr. Lank. It's not part of our application or presentation. I can submit it either now or after you've asked your questions. It's a letter that my office received from Attorney Virginia Drake, and she requested that we deliver it to the commission tonight to be included in the record as part of the public comment portion of the hearing. I can submit it to Mr. Lank at this point, or I can wait.
It's a letter of support.
It's a letter in support, yes.
Submit it to me. Okay. Submit it, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. And, of course, we are available for any and all questions that the commission may have.
Well, we'll see if anyone has any for you. We'll start with Mr. Burton.
Okay. You know, I commend you on getting the library or going after the library with a dedicating the land to them for free, I guess, in a way. What if they don't take that? Is there, and somebody else says they will, who determines that?
Mr. Hudson, do you want to answer that question?
Sure. Christian Hudson, Lewis. The question was, what if the library does not take the dedication? Excuse me. We've committed to donate the land. If the library does not want the land, or even if they do want the land but they just can't build within the next 10 years, we've committed to donate the land back to the Property Owners Association of the Villages of Five Points, so that they could have it for whatever they
so it would only be available for the library, essentially. If the fire station wanted it, it would
again be I'm John Sergovic for the record. In conjunction with negotiations regarding this transaction, we've committed to not only the association but also the developer of the shopping center. Right. That if, and again, it's part of our overall negotiations, but what we said was, If the library does not accept our gift, or if the library does not build within 10 years, then the property will go to the Homeowners Association, but there will be a restriction that the Homeowners Association cannot use it commercially. But the association could then determine an alternative community use provided. So we try to cover all the bases. So it wouldn't be our determination. We're leaving once the restrictions are put on, it's going to be restricted to community use. And if then it's gifted, okay. If the library rejects the gift, there will be a reversionary clause to the Homeowners Association, restricted to community service and specifically restricted against any kind of business or commercial use by the association. So the association can then use it as a parkland where they can find a suitable community service user. We try to cover all of our bases.
But essentially it's a gift to the library.
Right.
That's correct.
There was no need for a TIS survey with the pharmacy.
Correct.
If we add a library, does that change the math?
Mr. Hughes?
Basically, in the DLDOT letter for this property, they said if anything proposed above and beyond the CVS, they would revisit their recommendation at that time. So if and when it does become a real project, then DLDOT would have a say over if anything else were required at that time above and beyond the CVS.
Who would share in that expense? If the pharmacy was approved in this deal with no TIS and then the library comes in and there's traffic requirements of some kind, would that be shared between the library and the pharmacy?
I don't believe that's appropriate for me to answer.
Uh, who would pay for the traffic study, or could you repeat the question?
The traffic study and then any of the resulting of the whatever they find, would that fall on the second guy or the whole parcel?
No, we would be donating the land to the library, so if they have to do improvements or something, or the likewise the POA, if they had to do improvements or something, we feel that our donation would cover our end of it.
Okay.
They just want to cover the commercial thing, and you know, if we're donating the land to a nonprofit, I think we'll leave that on them.
And to expand upon that, Mr. Burton, there's not necessarily anything that they would have to do, but I can't speak for DLDOT because that wasn't included in when we submitted for the request to waive a TIS. So we just submitted for the CVS. But it doesn't necessarily mean a library would have to do any improvements, per se.
Okay. The downstream improvements of the sewer is kind of along the same lines, is that under the current CVS use, there is no need for any expense to improve the downstream sewer needs that could possibly be needed.
Right. The numbers that I've put together were based off of what I believe to be a comparable library project, which is the brand new library several blocks from here in Georgetown. I went to the library, got a set of their construction drawings, and went through and did a fixture count, which is how EDUs are calculated. The county's correspondence indicates that they've already allocated 4 EDUs per acre for this site because it's AR1 land, and that's what they allocate to all AR1 land when it's annexed into a sewer district. So there are approximately 16 EDUs available. The CVS is not a heavy user. The EDU calculation that I came up with based on, and that's simply based on square footage for commercial, and that's right out of your county code, is 4.41 EDUs, which means that the 1.5 acres that they have has 6 EDUs allocated. They're not using them all. The library in Georgetown, were it to be built under county sewer district, would have just under 10 EDUs, and the 2.5 acres that they have would mean that they would be building within that allocation. So there would probably be some discussions, heated or not, I'm not sure, between the developer of the library or the developer of the CVS and the county engineering department, because it's my understanding that if we come in at or under the allocation that's in their master plan, downstream improvements are not our problem or not our obligation. When they wrote that letter, they probably hadn't seen this, so they didn't know necessarily how to estimate the EDUs to expect. What they could say and did in their letter was that an open-ended B1 zoning left the floodgates open for lots of problems, and they definitely put the brakes on in their letter a year ago. And this time they said, we may have some concerns. So whether those downstream improvements were funded by a special allocation or not, I would argue, of course, that they wouldn't. That impact fees for these 16 EDUs would be paid when the properties were developed. And that's the whole purpose of impact fees, is your additional flows are impacting our infrastructure, and we need those fees to keep our infrastructure keeping up with the growth that comes in. So it's you may get a different answer when you ask your engineer, but this is the answer that I came up with from your code and from a very comparable project.
County engineer, just for your information, did have a copy of your booklet, so they did have access to that sheet if they used it.
I don't know if they
if
they dug into that section and saw that or not.
I don't know.
So they didn't really reference any particulars on. I mean, when you look at their letter, I'm gonna go ahead and pull that up real quick. The letter from County Engineering doesn't provide a lot of information. It simply says that it's 4.04 acres and they assume 4 EDUs per acre, coming in at just over 16 EDUs.
And then they go on to talk about how the new conditional use is half of what was expected with a B1. But they don't really, they don't project an EDU proposal from our site plan. And without having had the building plans, I couldn't. I mean, I went to something that, again, seemed very comparable and very reasonable. But EDUs are actually calculated when a building plan is brought in.
Right. So essentially, you're just counting for your EDUs, and that's...
If our EDUs are under what's already been allocated to the property, it's my understanding that no special assessment will be required. The impact fees are there based on the EDUs that are allocated to the property. If we had a use, say it wasn't a library, say it was a class that taught people how to make ice cream sundaes and they have a lot more wastewater, then obviously the downstream improvements would be triggered by our overdevelopment of the parcel. But based on what I've been able to determine so far, we're not overdeveloping from what was master planned for this property.
Okay. Recognizing that there is commercial, inside the development, fish on in that field, was there any thought given to, the pharmacy in your book says that it's going to be open 24 hours a day. Was there any thought given to shielding some of the lighting that goes along with that? Because if the library does not get built in a reasonable amount of time, the lighting then is going to be pulled over to the residency directly.
That's a concern that was echoed by many in the HOA. One of the things that CBS Corporate does, this is not our project, this is on our property, because this is a final engineering plan of a comparable site. And they calculate the foot candles. Their corporate engineers calculate the foot candles. They do a lot of shielding. When you look at how they direct the lights to their parking lot, the foot candles here at the door are, up around 5.8, 6.8. When you get 10 feet off the property, it's at 0.1 or 0. So they do a lot of very specific engineering of the lighting system to direct the light onto their parking area and not scatter into the surrounding areas.
Okay. How was the I guess the additional parking that is on the backside, the parallel parking, that really isn't dedicated to anything. That's really for the aid of the residents.
My understanding, and I'm going to let Mr. Hudson step up here for a moment, is that much of the street parking in the entire development is open-ended as far as who the user it's allocated for.
Yeah, that's correct. The parking in the villages is throughout the villages is a shared parking. So because of the way we designed the site plan initially, some of the parking for the different sections spills over into the other sections, or what we call the villages. The quote-unquote villages of 5 points is actually five or six different villages, single families on one side, townhouses in the center, residential over commercial. And basically the intent was to have as much of an old town feel as possible. So we wanted to mimic like the town of Lewis, which we're a neighbor to. In the design phase, it was shown that, okay, well, in Lewis, there's a lot of on-street parking, not necessarily right next to the retail, but also within the residential areas as well. Oh, yeah, thanks. Helps if you have a laser pointer. So our downtown center comes right here, starts at this. This is building 6 through 1. We're backwards. But we've got parking up here along the main drag, and then parking around here for the clubhouse, but then we've also got substantial parking and overflow parking in the areas behind. Similarly, we've got parking here for some of the condo units, but these two parking lot areas are shared basically between the residential and the commercial and the residential from separate sections. So it was all designed with overflow in mind, and that's basically what we're talking about down here is, as Ken has pointed out, we have more parking than is required per the code for each of these uses. But should anything, you know, some kind of special event overtake those, we have parking over here.
I was more concerned with the parallel parking that's right below back of the library. That could essentially add to the parking of the condo that or the townhouses that are right there.
Yeah, that's what was actually requested of us as the developer. This street right now would be widened slightly to accommodate that on-street parking, which was a request of the folks in the townhouse buildings right in here. Just to kind of
help them out. In that design, they picked up parking space.
Absolutely. I think it's 14.
Is there not other areas within the complex of the commercial area that's got parallel parking along the route?
Yes, there are.
Near Fichon or a couple in that area there?
Yeah, the commercial areas that have on-street parking are changing on me here. All right. Right here, starting from here and going on up, we have in several sections like this, for instance, we have on-street parking on the left of the median as well as on the right-hand side of the median. Now down here, this is all parallel. These are a lot of head-end spots in here. And then down here again, we start into the on-street parking. And as well as in the front of all these townhouses and up by the pool and the tennis courts, there's on-street parking. So it's very much in keeping with the design.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Mr. Burton, in response to your earlier question with regard to minimizing the impact of the pharmacy use until the community service use is implemented, at tab 21 of the booklet that we submitted for the commission's review in support of the application, we did prepare proposed findings of fact and conditions. And several of those conditions do address minimizing the impact. For example, at condition number 13, proposed that any building signage for the proposed pharmacy use shall face Savannah Road and or North Village, Maine. Only minor directional signs shall be permitted in the rear of the pharmacy. And, of course, signage configuration will comply with Sussex County standards. At number 14, deflectors shall be utilized on the proposed pharmacy building lights to ensure that the light from the pharmacy does not encroach on the adjacent residential properties. Paragraph 15, the hours of operation for the pharmacy shall be normal operating hours, but the pharmacy would reserve its right to operate 24 hours a day if the needs of the community required it. 16, the pharmacy user shall be solely responsible for security of its site. 17, any garbage dumpsters located on the pharmacy site shall be enclosed. 18, sufficient landscape screening and buffering shall be placed to screen the pharmacy from the residential development until a community use is placed. And 19, the user of the pharmacy portion of the property shall make feasible and commercially reasonable efforts to limit late night and early morning deliveries. And while 20, they will make feasible and commercially reasonable efforts to minimize the idling delivery trucks at the pharmacy site. So we've attempted to propose conditions on the application to minimize that impact.
Okay. Is the pharmacy agreeable to those conditions?
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In looking at the exhibits that we have in here,